Verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in 2 and 2 unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the 3 wives of his sons with them, into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, 2 and 2 of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark. And it was lift up above the earth, and the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Amen. To that portion of God's word in Genesis chapter 27. Now the message of this morning is a very serious one, because we are dealing with a very serious passage in the Word of God. It's about the great worldwide flood of Noah. and his day. It's a passage which many people deny as ever happened. And yet all over the world, what do we find? Mass graveyards. And we find fossils at the top of mountains and top of hills and all various places that people would think, well, how could waters reach so high? How could we find snails at the top of the Himalayas? And so on. And yet, the scriptures tell us why they went up there and why such fossils exist. Here is this very solemn portion of God's word. Here is the solemnity is not merely the judgment that came, but the fact that for decades Noah preached that there is a way of salvation from the judgment of God. And the solemn thing was that not many heard it, and nearly all died in that great flood. Noah was a preacher. I read a commentator on this passage who said that Noah wasn't a preacher. There is no mention of him preach. Well, thanks be to God that God sees Noah as a preacher, for we read in 2 Peter and chapter 2 and verse 5 these words, and it's a reference to God, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, we read, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. For many years, this man, Noah, he bore witness of God's impending judgment. Already, if we were to read Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3 of it, the Lord speaks in this way. He saw the world as it was, so sinful and so wretched. And we read these words. The Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh." And then it says this, "Yet his days shall be 120 years. The Lord is saying that there is going to be a judgment coming in 120 years' time. God is giving them a time. He doesn't say tomorrow, but he says in 120 years' time. This is not a reference to how long a man can live, because people live even much longer than that. But he says from that day, there's going to be 120 years left before there would be a judgment. And God is saying, repent of your sins. Turn to me. Don't be so proud and thinking that you can build up your life and you can live your life without me, without any reference to me. So God gives in chapter 6 of Genesis a period of time, 120 years, for man to repent. And then the flood would come. And Noah was given the charge to build the ark as a means of God's salvation to all those who would trust in the Lord, who would trust in God's word. And this is what we read in verse 5. This is exactly what Noah did. And if anybody else in that day did the very thing that Noah did, they would be saved too. There was no limitation put. It says in verse 5, "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." So there was a message sent, a message of salvation, and Noah did listen to it, did believe it, did obey it. The apostles tell us the apostle Paul, he tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, among the list of men and women of the Old Testament who trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, or they looked with great expectation to his coming and trusted in the promises of God and lived by faith, these words in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear." This is a good kind of fear. He moved with fear, "prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." That great boat, that great ark of Noah, was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Old Testament, in many ways, we could say it is like a picture book that a child could, who doesn't read yet, can take and can look at just the pictures of it. But it's all pointing to deep things, deep truths. And the ark is the Lord Jesus Christ in this context, who is the Savior. The ark was their Savior in the storm that came and destroyed all. And so Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners who trust in Him on that day of judgment. And it was that faith, that trust that Noah had that caused him then to depend upon the Lord. And then he lived. In verse 23 of Genesis chapter 7, we read these words. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. This is not a local flood. This is a worldwide flood that the Lord is speaking about. And everyone died except those that were in the ark. Before the flood, you see, think about it, what happened? Before the flood, people lived a long time. Some about 900 years and even over. And it is easy, you see, you think about if you could live, if you knew you would be living at least 200 years, 300 years, 400 years, 500 years. You think about it. Would you not put off many things from your view? You think, well, I didn't manage to do this thing now. I'll do it in 10 years' time. I'll do it in 50 years' time. I'll do it in 100 years' time. That's when I'll do it. If we put things off and if we procrastinate with our short life that we have, the Lord says about 70. Some of us go beyond that because of God's mercy. Others are, their life is cut short, we say. But in those days, when people lived, generally speaking, much longer, you could put off so easily your mind of any thoughts of death or eternity and facing God. And oh, how many have turned or had turned from God and lived ungodly. Just read chapter 6 of Genesis. They were living unbelieving lives. Even though they were so close to various patriarchs and various men and women of God of their day, all around the world. It's like today. You read the words of Genesis 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is how God sees us. God saw this in mankind. And has man changed? And it goes deeper than simply his thoughts. But he says the imagination of the thoughts of his heart. Nothing is left to be hidden. God's eye sees all of us, our intentions, our motives, everything about us, the things that we think, passing thoughts that come and we forget all about it. God sees all of that. And so what God, as he looked upon mankind and what he saw, he decided to destroy in judgment that sinful world, to make a new world, to start again and he planned to save some. To save as many as would trust him. So God gave in his patience. And think about it. How patient God is. He says 120 years. Don't you think? That's enough time? Even if he said, I will give you a week to trust me. That would have been enough. I will give you a day to trust me. That would have been enough. But he gives them 120 years before the flood came. And Noah, who was God's messenger, spoke to the people. He warned the people. And as God asked Noah, most faithful commentators estimate that Noah spent most likely a maximum of 75 years just building that ark. And if you calculate all the dates and so on, it's roughly 75 years maximum that he would have spent in building that ark. Think about the expense of it he went into. Think about how expensive that ark would have cost, how foolish it would have been to the eyes of the people all around him. For many decades, think about it, Noah patiently waited for the fulfillment of the prediction of God, the prophecy of God about the future and what would happen. And when the ark was finished, God brought all of the creatures into it and shut Noah and shut his family inside. You see, the people in general, they would not believe the warning. They were happy to continue as they were. And that the waters would come, it would come up and it would rage even above the highest mountains. But no one had any vessel at that time. They were not expecting it, you see. They didn't believe what God had said, and they had nothing to save them from the huge waves. How can any escape? God only can find out the way, you see. God was going to send the judgment, and he found a way that his people might escape. So he told Noah to build the ark. So God's friends, those who would believe the message, find refuge. And that's what God always does. He's doing that now. Those who would believe the message, they find refuge. While the waves of God's wrath and anger sweeps away the wicked world. So 120 years from the warning of Genesis 6, and only 8 people are saved. Oh, my friends, we must see the spiritual lesson here, the spiritual application here. You think about that horrible picture of the flood and the millions drowning and dying. You must see that 8 are saved in that large boat, that large ark. And that ark was a picture of Jesus Christ, the Savior. And so this prepares the way for us to think for a little bit. Think about Noah. Think about how he lived in that period of time before the floods came. Think about the fact that he was laboring and to make this for that refuge in the ark. And think about how he was jeered and how he was laughed at in all of those years. Noah had faith. In all of those years, Noah was obedient. In all of those years, Noah was patient. In all of those years, he denied himself and followed the command of the Lord. In all of those years, he was courageous. Think about those things for a few minutes, friends. Think about Noah's faith. Think about the way he trusted in the Lord. He was living a faithful life. And yes, he saw the sin of the people, even though he was upset about the sin around him. One day, he heard a voice. It was God's voice that he heard. And God commanded him, spoke to him personally, and said, "There is a day of judgment coming. I've been so patient. There's a day coming, and you must do this. You must build this ark. You must take your place with your family in the ark." He heard this voice, and God's called to him. There's a way back to God. There's a way of salvation. There's a judgment coming, but then at the same time, I am reaching out with the other hand in salvation of sinners. And you build that ark. It's a picture of salvation. You make this one door in it. There's only one way that people can get into it. And what I will do, you go in and I will shut the door myself. You don't have to do anything about this. Imagine if God didn't shut the door. How could they shut the door? But God kept them safe. God did it himself. And now think about Noah. He had never experienced such a thing before. But he believed God. He believed the news. He didn't doubt it, even though he had never heard such a thing before. Even though it seemed to be so unlikely, even though it seemed to be a very strange thing, he believed God's word. And that's what we are commending God's word to you. Believe in the word of God. Believe in the words of Jesus Christ and the gospel of salvation. And he kept that trust, kept him for many years in those days. He didn't know when the judgment would come. So he got on with the work straight away. He believed God's threatenings and promises. But others, what did they think? The others didn't believe. And that's why he could work for decades without any kind of positive response. Wouldn't you give up? We can't even last for 6 months in a certain task. We can't even last for a year in a certain task. And yet for decades he went on and just think about the mission. Was it a successful mission? It was from the point of view of God. But if you look at it, what people would say, there was only 8 who were saved. What a waste of time, Noah. You didn't make it easy for people to believe. It was a very negative message that you preached about the judgment to come. And do you see? All of these people lost. If you just made people, maybe you should have offered people some food, something that would entertain them to come in, to just bring them through some other means. But if you tell them about this judgment to come and it's a flood, no one's going to believe you. But that's exactly, you see, he trusted in the word of God. And so that's why he worked when he was laughed at, when he was mocked. Are you in that situation? Are you in a situation where you think, well, the Bible, I know it is true. But are you trusting it? Are you listening to laughter and the words and the questions and the doubting thoughts of other people? Others did not believe. It's the same thing today, friends. Though God has foretold the destruction of sinners, they don't really believe it. They think it's all a fairy tale. They think it's just religious talk to make people feel scared about life. Do you believe God? I'm not talking about believing me, but do you believe God? Do you believe God's word? Do you really believe what the Bible speaks to us of the day of judgment? If yes, then have you come to Christ? Have you come to the only Savior, the only ark, the only through one door that the Lord Jesus Christ even said through the scriptures this morning, enter ye in by the straight gate? Have you come in that way? Or are you living your life just following along with everybody else? That's what is called worldliness. Worldliness is not about drinking and dancing and gambling and all of these things, but just going through them. It's a mentality. It's the taking hold of the ideas and listening to the words of people and saying, well, and the world has its own scaremongering words that doesn't last. How many times? You know, I was thinking about it. I'm not being careless about this. I'm not asking you to be careless about your health. But weren't we told about 3 or 4 years ago that swine flu was going to wipe out the whole earth? And then it was the bird flu that was going to wipe out the whole earth. Well, I hope all of these things will make us to be more cautious about our health. It's a good thing. But also to realize the spiritual significance of these things. That there is a greater, as the children were being taught in the Sunday school, there's a greater issue, the greater problem than coronavirus that has infected people, but that everyone is infected with sin. And that is going to bring us to death. And so that's, I hope that is going to stir people up in our day when they think about these things. And next year something else will come. And the year after something else will come. But men and women, boys and girls, remember about your soul and that the word of God comes to us in the midst of all of these things. And that's the amazing thing. I think about those Christians in China at the moment. I read of pastors going and they've given their protective clothing to others who are not Christians. And they said, look, we know where we are going. And what you need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they're handing out Bibles and they're handing out literature and preaching in places where no one else would go and government officials would not go. And yet these people are going with that hope and trust. They know where they are going and they know illnesses. Yes, they will affect their bodies, but it is the spiritual things that we must be after. And so here it was Noah with his faith and trust. It was a genuine thing. It was a living faith. It wasn't a nominal thing that he said, I believe in God. And he believed in this gospel, the good news that God will save through this means, the means of the ark. And every one of us then must also take the spiritual lesson. God will save through the means of Jesus Christ as we trust him with all our hearts, as we repent of our sins and run to him for safety. Another thing was the obedience of Noah. Well, he did listen to the Lord. He obeyed God straight away. He got to work at once. He spent many years in one unbroken life of obedience. And we are called to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, we read in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, repent and believe the gospel. That is something that he commands us to repent and believe. Even though there are others around you who may not be obedient to God's message, but what about you? We can't blame other people about things. You must look to yourself. Have you devoted your life? Have I devoted my life in obedience to Jesus Christ? But also think about his patience. Think about how patient Noah was. He was working, and when he was suffering, and he didn't know how long it would go on before the judgment came, he was patient for many years. And you don't read that he ever lost his temper. You don't read that he became discontented with things. He probably did not expect it to last that very long. And think about his family who heard this message that he was to preach all the time. He didn't have a full Bible. He didn't. All he knew, what God had revealed, was about this ark that was going to be their savior. And that's all he could preach about. That's all he could speak about. What had God revealed to them up to that point? My friends, there are people today who say, well, why do we just keep on preaching about these same things again and again and again? And every week it seems to be the same message. From any part of the Bible you pick up, it seems that you keep talking about Jesus Christ. You keep talking about the way of salvation through him. You talk to us about that our need of forgiveness of our sins is found through his blood and so on. But my friends, that's the message of the Bible. And we shouldn't get tired of it when we think about what awaits all and what is ahead of us. This faithful man carried on preaching, and his family held on to those truths. They were reminded of those truths. And we need to be reminded again and again that we can't depend on ourselves to live in this world. We need Jesus Christ. In this storm of this world that is coming, and we are in this storms of life, it's only Jesus Christ that keeps us afloat on the top. That's why we don't sink. But my friends, if you have a low view of the gospel, low view of these things, no wonder some people's lives are up and down and they seem to be sinking and they emotionally they are so affected by things. But it's the peace of God which passes all understanding comes from what? Our circumstance? The fact that we have a lovely family because our parents are good to us, or our brothers and sisters are good to us, or we are going to a good place to study or a good place to work? No. The peace which passes all understanding comes from knowing Christ, knowing his peace and his life in our life. So we commend Jesus Christ to you, and we will not be tired. We patiently, by God's grace, we'll carry on speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ from all of the books of the Bible. But also think about the self-denial of Noah. His self-denial. Noah was a wealthy man. And that's how he built the ark. That great edifice needs someone who has lots of money to build it. And he has spent it all on this. When the command of God came, he gave everything he had for it. He knew that none of what he had would be of any use to him. If he wasn't in the ark, what's the point of gathering all the things that he had? He didn't care for the earthly things. And so he spent it with all of his family on this. He wanted the salvation to be rescued in the way that God had said for himself and all who would come. He looked to the world that followed the flood. He looked the promises of God that would follow after him. And my friends, let's think about it and think about Jesus Christ. He calls us to leave everything, spiritually speaking, leave everything behind and follow him, or we will be lost. If we depend upon the things we own or the people around us or our circumstances, if you hang on to those things for your dear life, you'll be very disappointed, even to your own life and health, and be so much caught up in all of those things and forget that Jesus Christ must be the center of my life. You'll be very disappointed. For many years, this man of God worked and preached of the judgment to come and the way of God's salvation. He never seemed to have made a single convert other than his family in those many decades that he preached. His family were the only ones who would listen to him. No one was moved to escape from the wrath of God. How often he was called to be a madman. Can you imagine? They had not seen any kind of flooding. They had not seen any kind of rain. Well, if he was going to build his ark in Gloucestershire now, we would have thought, well, maybe it's possible that such a thing would come. But not then. There was no rain. There was no flooding of any sort to cause people to be alarmed by things. And so he would have been called a madman, a fool. Here is a crazy religious man has lost his mind. He says he hears voices in his head. And there is a word from God that he has. Those who passed by would insultingly wag their heads. Others would curse him, maybe. He had no friends in the world. His character, his reputation was totally gone. Imagine that. Who would want to be a friend of this man who is just spending all of the things that he has on this ark? It's all going to go to waste. What are you doing with yourself? What, don't you think your children need something more substantial than this? Don't you think that you're throwing your life, your wife, your children's life, and their family's life away for this crazy idea? He must have been shut out of all society. You see, people don't change. You see situations like that. Maybe you feel like that at times. And so man doesn't change in history of time. People would have said to him, who made you wiser and better than all of us? People say that today. And they think when you preach about these things, you're making yourself holier than them. He rested, my friends, on higher promises of God. He trusted in God and God's way of salvation. The longer it went on, it became harder. Think about it. The longer it carried on, it was harder for him. Oh, see this man, they would say, who is building such a large ark. And he told us this 20 years ago. Where is the rain? Where is the flood? He told us this 40 years ago, 50 years ago. I still remember when my first child was born. He was still saying the same things, building this ark. And now, still he's doing the same things. Who would believe him? And see, he's a false prophet. He says these things will come to pass. They haven't come to pass. He doesn't want us to enjoy life, this man. He's a liar. These are the things that he would have heard, my friends. But then just imagine this. The long expected day arrived. The day that was to show that Noah was telling the truth did come. Their jeering and their laughing, it would stop forever. After 120 years, finally, that frightful morning began. The heavens blackened. No one expected it. Angry storms began to fill the world. The lightnings flashed and the skies blackened. And the word spread that Noah and his family and all of these animals had entered the ark. They had spent a week going in, and now the door is shut. And think about the fear in the hearts of the ungodly. Their hearts failed them. Before long, the floods, as we were reading, the floods of water poured from the skies. The fountains of the great deep were opened. Some now would have started to think, what are we going to do? They are now looking towards the ark. They're looking towards the high places. They're rushing into their homes. They're trying to secure their doors. They think this may be just a small thing that will come. But the waters came. The waters took them away. The rivers filled, and these startled people saw everything that they had worked for vanish away in their sight. But the thing that Noah had worked for, it stayed. It stayed. It remained. It continued floating while everyone else's things sank to the bottom of the oceans. The ark floated above. These people were saved. But the others hanging on to the sides of the ark, maybe hanging on, floating over the trees and other things, they all perished, my friends. This is what the scripture says. And we ought to take these things to our hearts. It's a solemn truth. But there is going to be a day that the Lord has also said to us that we must look to with expectation, and we should be preparing for. We cannot build the ark. We cannot ourselves do anything to save ourselves, but we can look to Jesus Christ, the Lord who has finished a work. We are saved by works, but it is the work of Jesus Christ, not our own works. Our own works fail. Everything we do, our righteousness, as the Bible says, are as filthy rags, that we have fallen short of God's glory. But Jesus Christ's work, that's the thing I can depend on. There's a greater than Noah that has made a way up to save us. There is one door that is left open for us to go up while it still, the floods have not come, while it still the judgment has not come. They laughed at him. They scorned him. They thought of him as a fool and as a madman. But then when the floods came, it was too late. Don't leave things, my friends, till it is too late. Don't be like those who ignored things and said, well, we'll just carry on another 50 years. We will just carry on another period of times. Don't wait until Jesus Christ comes. Then so many of them would have regretted, why didn't I believe? Why was such a fool to not trust in this? And the Lord Jesus Christ said this about this matter. It's recorded in Matthew 24. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let us, if we are saying to ourselves, if we had lived in those days, we would not do such a thing as they did. Let us not fool ourselves, my friends. Let us now, as you hear about, there is a Savior who died on the cross to take away our sins. He is our ark, our only point of refuge. And He calls us now, come unto Him. All is prepared, all is ready for us. And it's a certain hope. It's a near salvation. God comes to you today in the words of the scriptures. Jesus Christ is preached to us in the words of the scriptures. And he says, come, all is now ready. Come unto me. Well, my friends, let us then seek these things. Let us trust as Noah trusted in the ark. Let us trust in Jesus Christ. Let us be patient in him. Whatever the world might say, whatever news you might hear tomorrow, still Jesus remains the same yesterday and today and forever. His truth is still will last. Your life might be full of trouble in this world, but your soul will be kept if it is in Jesus Christ. And he shuts the door and you can't fall out in the storms and you will not sink into the oceans of the troubles of this world. Your body may become weak, and it will. Your body one day, like a tent, you will have to bring down, but your soul will be secure and kept in the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may the Lord help in these things. May we all be given that faith to trust the Savior even today. Let us then pray.